Psalms chapter 23 and verse number 6. The title of the message tonight is found in verse number 5, but we'll read all six verses. The title of the message tonight is My Cup Runneth Over. My cup runneth over. It's indicative of the fact that there was more in the cup than what the cup would hold. My cup runneth over. Verse number 1 of Psalms chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm trusting the Lord to add his blessing to the reading of his word tonight. It's not known when King David wrote this psalm. It's a pick-me-up psalm, I believe. You hear it read a lot at funerals and one thing or another, and people will recite it, different types of activities and gatherings and so forth, but it has a lot of message to it. And actually, if you stop and think about the message of Psalms chapter 23 and ask yourself, when could he have written that? The answer would be, humanly speaking, at no time in his life. At no time in his life was everything just exactly right. David never knew a time in his life, for a long period of time anyway, when he didn't have some type of a problem, some type of a trouble coming into his life. When he was just a young boy, he was overrun by his older brothers. Some of you maybe know something about that. Amen. And then he also had the conflict with the bear and the lion and the giant. And in those times, he probably did not write this, I don't know. When he became Saul's servant, he was continuously hated, harassed. He was betrayed by the man that he tried to serve so faithfully so many times. When he became the king's son-in-law, by marrying the king's daughter, of course, his life was continually in jeopardy. And then when he became king himself, his own son became his worst enemy. And yet, in spite of all those problems and all those things occurring through his lifetime, David still said, my cup runneth over. And of course, some men's cup never runs over. Some men's cups never get full. And I believe the reason sometimes our cups don't get as full as God would have them to be, because we're looking to the wrong source to fill our cup. Some people look to money to fill the cup. They say, man, if I could just have a little more. One of the bankers, I don't know if it was Morgan or one of the famous bankers from the past, was asked one time, how much money is enough money? And he accurately answered and said, a little more. And of course, money, when we're looking for money to satisfy us, money's not going to do that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning of verse number 9, we find these wise words. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. Have you ever thought about that? The profit of the earth is for all. Maybe sometimes we ought to look a little bit more at that profit, as long as it doesn't begin to get a hold of us rather than us getting a hold of a promise of God. The Bible says, moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. And so we find the Bible testifies that money is not going to satisfy. Oh, it might get you a pretty bauble. It might get you a new car. It might get you a new house. It might get you this or get you that. But it's not going to bring total satisfaction in your life. It's not going to bring you to a place where you can sit down and really say, my cup runneth over. And then, of course, some people try pleasure. You know, if we can just have another party, have another gaudy, have another good time, just have another uprising of some kind, another parade, another this, another that. If we just have some more pleasure. Well, the Bible talks about that too. In Proverbs 21, verse number 17, it says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. And so the Bible testifies that a person who loves pleasure is going to be a poor man. So chances are a person who's just in life for what he can get out of it, just having a, in German, I used the word gaudy a while ago, and that's a German phrase for just a wild party, just a carefree party, not necessarily full of sin, but just carefree, just having a good time and not thinking about tomorrow or anything, just having a good time. A gaudy is what it's called, and the Bible says that he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. So he's not probably going to write, "My cup runneth over." And then, of course, there's folk who think that if I could just get my name in lights, well, how many people have gone from the East Coast to the West Coast or from the West Coast to New York City to get on Broadway or something? They're saying, if I could just get my name in lights, if people just knew my name, I'd be satisfied. My cup would be running over. I'd be so totally happy and totally satisfied. But the Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers of the false prophets. And so just having a big name, a well-known name, there's a lot of people today that have well-known names that aren't thought very highly of and so forth. And so fame is not going to cause a man to say, my cup runneth over. It seems like some people always have a hole in their cup. It seems like they put something into it and just runs out the bottom. They never get to enjoy it. They never have any happiness, never have their cup never runs over because it never gets full. And of course, it seems like someone else is always the fault for that. Have you ever noticed that some people, they always have someone else to blame? Nothing is ever their fault. Nothing's ever their responsibility. Nothing's ever their failing. It's always someone else's fault that their cup is not full. Some people have discontent. They're never satisfied with anything. I mean, my daddy used to say you could hang them with a gold rope and they'd still complain, and I believe that's probably true. We need to understand that they're discontent. There's envy and jealousy. You know, one of the things we ought to learn about is we ought to learn to rejoice in another person's successes, especially brothers and sisters in Christ. When they have a success, we ought to rejoice in it. If they get riches, we ought to rejoice in that. If they have success, we ought to enjoy that with them. If they have joy, we ought to enjoy that with them. If they have a song in their heart, we ought not to try to be putting it down all the time. We ought to be rejoicing with them. And then, of course, some men's cup never runs over because of unbelief in their own heart. You see, your cup will never be full. Your cup will never be running over when the Lord is disbelieved. When we fail to believe what Jesus says, we fail to believe the Bible, your cup will never run over. Your satisfaction level will never attain the height, the depth, the value that God wants it to have. It's funny, I think, or sad, I guess would be a better word, that we trust our soul for eternity with the Lord, but we won't trust Him with our substance day by day. We'll trust the Lord with eternity, but we won't trust Him with our time. And to me, a long time ago, I thought to myself, and I do that every once in a while, I think to myself, in fact, sometimes I even talk to myself, and somebody says it's not a sign of being feeble-minded when you talk to yourself, but rather when you answer yourself. But I do that too. I'm glad when my dog's around when I'm talking to myself, because when my wife walks by, she just thinks I'm talking to my dog. And that's not a sign of insanity. That's just a sign that you love your dog too much. But when we talk to ourselves, I remember a long time ago, I asked myself, why is it that I can trust the Lord Jesus for forever? I mean, that's a lifetime plus however many years are in time plus forever. I claim I'm trusting Him, but I can't trust Him with tomorrow. I can't even trust Him sometimes with today. And that just doesn't seem to make much sense. And so I've been working on that for a number of years. And since I've done that, it seems like my cup gets fuller and fuller all the time, and my cup runneth over. Now, when we ask ourselves the question about a cup running over, we could ask ourselves, why does one's cup run over? How come? What causes a cup to run over? Well, in Christ Jesus, we're beginning to realize, I think, as pilgrims and as children of God, that the Lord Jesus is in control of things. From salvation to the time we get to heaven and then on through eternity, the Lord has promised to meet every need that we have. Every need. Now, I remember a dear lady saying one time, he's promised to meet our need, but not our greed. And I think there's something to that too. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalms 84 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright." I think of an old evangelist that I heard one time, and I would call his name if I could think of it, but I can't right now. He used to ride a mule through West Virginia and preach one thing or another, and then he got a car, and then he got a Cadillac, and then he hired his grandson to drive his Cadillac, and his office was in the back seat of his Cadillac. He had all of his books and everything there, and his grandson would drive him around, and someone told him that was driving a Cadillac and having a chauffeur was hard on his image. He says, "Well, my doctor drives a Cadillac, my lawyer drives a Cadillac, it hadn't hurt their image, Jenny." He said, "Well, listen, you ought to be a poor, humble person." He said, "Well, humble I agree with, but who said I'm supposed to be poor? Who said I'm supposed to be poor? You didn't read that in the Bible. The Bible says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright." God's promised us that. So he said, if you don't have what you need, you don't have the desires of your heart, don't blame me, just start walking right. Amen. Amen. I'll think of his name before the message is over. I'll try. Here's another verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. I think it fits in here too. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," that's be saved, "and his righteousness," that's live like it, "and all these things shall be added unto you." So be saved, act like you're saved, live like you're saved, let people know that you're saved, and all these things, the necessities of life, all those things, the Bible says, will be added unto you. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 17, the Bible instructs the young preacher, says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." And so the Bible tells us that our cup can never be filled, our satisfaction level can never be what God wants it to be when we're trusting in uncertain riches and so forth. But the Bible testifies that God has given us richly all things to enjoy. Some people think that you're supposed to endure being saved. I don't believe that. I think we're supposed to enjoy being saved. Now, there's parts of the gospel, parts of the service of the Lord that I don't really enjoy. The Bible says of Jesus in the book of Hebrews that he endured the cross. And so there are some things we're supposed to endure, but for the main thing, we're supposed to enjoy being saved. Enjoy knowing our sins are forgiven. Enjoy knowing we're on our way to heaven. Enjoy knowing that Jesus is our friend that lives with us and walks with us and talks with us and fellowships with us. We're supposed to have a good time serving the Lord. So why does someone's cup run over? It runs over when they have the proper relationship with the Lord Jesus. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." And so here the Bible testifies again that our satisfaction is supposed to be in Christ Jesus, not in things. And of course, the infinite Lord belongs to us. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity, my very favorite song. And of course, the word infinite means without limits. You see, the only limits that are on God are the limits that he placed upon himself, and he lists them here in this book. And so we need to understand he's without limits. He has no beginning. He has no ending. And he's able to take care of his own. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And of course, when we know the Lord Jesus, he always supplies more than enough. You know, before I got saved, I used to think that Christians, you know, were just scraping by, always needing something that they don't have, always desiring something that their God couldn't give them and so forth. But I've learned from serving the Lord and from studying the Scriptures that God always gives us more than we need. You say, "Well, I don't understand that." Well, you know the story of the prodigal son? We call it the story of the prodigal son. I don't know why we don't call it the story of the older son that died and went to hell. Because you see, the prodigal son was down in a far country wasting his substance on riotous living. But the elder son was hiding in religion and never got saved. And so the young man came to his senses. He got saved. The older brother didn't get saved, as far as we know from the scriptures. The younger brother ended up being the wiser of the two. But the younger brother was down in a far country. Now, that's a part of a parable that Jesus told. And in that parable, the father of those two boys pictures God, pictures the Father God. And of course, the young man was down there. He wasted his living. He squandered his money. He threw away everything. He vain would have, the Bible says, he would have filled his belly with the husk of the swine that eat, and no man gave to himself. But one day he came to himself. And this is what he said. How many hired servants of my father, that's children of God, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You see, God, the Father, always gives us more than what we need. And as soon as this young man, he said, this will I do. I'll return to my father and I'll say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and before God, or sinned against God and before heaven, and make me one of your hired servants. And so he got up and did what he said he was going to do. How many people say they're going to get saved? How many people say they're going to get right? How many people say they're going to do what they're supposed to do and then never do? But this young man was wise enough. When he said, this will I do, he did what he said he's going to do. He's on his way back to the Father. We see the Father seeing him, and the Father runs out to meet him. And the son said, make me, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And as soon as he was willing to become a servant, we find that instantly the Father gave him five things. He gave him a kiss. He gave him a robe. He gave him shoes. He gave him a ring. And he killed the fatted calf. Listen, when you're willing to be a servant of God, God always gives you more than what you need and probably more than you even ask for. I'm certainly glad that Jesus loves me. And then when our cup runs over, what then? What are we supposed to do when we're at a place in our life when it just seems like our cup literally is running over? It just seems like there's just everything's going right. And somebody says, well, when that happens, look out because trouble's coming, and that might be right. But don't worry about that for a little while. Enjoy the moment. Amen. And what are we supposed to do when our cup runs over? Well, first off, we ought to adore the one that fills it. Amen. We ought to praise the God that fills it. Consider the Lord Jesus for a moment. He has power. Did he not say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth? And incidentally, he said that after he laid his life down and picked it back up again. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so we need to appreciate his power. And then we need to appreciate his ability. The Bible asks the question, is anything too hard for God? And it's one of those rhetorical questions where the answer is absolutely not. There's nothing that God can't do unless he said in here he can't do it. He'll take care of us. He'll take care of us, and we need to understand that. Now, not only should we adore the one that fills our cup, but we ought to ask the Lord what we'd have to do to make us worthy to have a larger cup. You say, well, that sounds like a bunch of greed. Well, you know, the Bible adds a lot of common tating to our thought life, if we'll let it do that. And in the book of Matthew chapter 25, we find the story of a man that was getting ready to go on a trip, and he took three servants and he gave each one of them a certain amount of talents and told them to be faithful till he came back, till he returned. And this is what he said to the second servant, the one that he'd given two talents to. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I believe that man, because of his faithfulness, God gave him a larger cup. God said, here you can have more because of what you've done with what I already gave you. Don't squander what God gives you and then expect him to give you something else. The government does that, but God doesn't. Parents sometimes do that, but God doesn't do that. And then not only do we need to ask him to give us a larger cup, but we need to never move our cup from the spigot where the blessings are. Listen, why if God meets our needs, why if God is what we need, why would we ever take our cup and put it to a different spigot? The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 5, "Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity hath your father found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain?" Here Jeremiah says, "I don't understand. I don't understand. God's asking me to ask you, how come? What fault have I done to cause you to go away?" You know, people serve God for a while, and then they get discouraged about something. They go off and do this and go off and do that. And sometimes they'll open up wounds that'll never really ever be healed. And if they are, they cause a scar that's always embarrassing to everybody. When you say, "Why'd you go away? Why'd you go away?" Sometimes they'll say, "I was just foolish. I was just wicked and foolish. I got my eyes off the Lord." And those people have an opportunity to have their cup filled. But most of the time, people that once served God and go away, it's always somebody else's fault. Always somebody else got in the way. Always someone trying to knock a hole in their cup. Always somebody trying to do something different. Oh, listen, never, 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 never should we ever get away from the spigot of the blessings of God. We ought to be right there where we're supposed to be. And then the next thing we ought to do when our cup runs over is we ought to call our friends to fill their cup. So I said, "Do you have a chapter and a verse for that?" It just so happens I do. In Luke chapter 5, in verse number 5, we find the disciples were fishing, and they hadn't caught anything. And so the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, and verse number 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Jesus, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they went home empty-handed. No, that's not what it says. That's not what it says. It says, "And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink." I'm here to tell you tonight that the God that fills your cup to where it's running over wants to fill the cup of your family members, wants to fill the cup of your neighbors, wants to fill the cup of your enemies, wants to fill the cup of your friends. He wants to use you to beckon to people to come, because what you've got, they can have if they'll just come to Jesus and walk in Him. But we know there's some people who will never call their friends. They'll never say anything. They'll let people think it's their wisdom, it's their education, it's their position, it's their personality, it's something special about them that's caused them to appear to have a full cup. But I can tell you, I know a lot of people who's got a full bank account, got a full garage, got a big house, got a barn full of horses and a barn full of this and that and something else, but they're empty inside. Their cup's not running over. Their cup is almost dry. It's almost dry. But the Bible testifies that we ought to call our neighbors, our friends, our companions to come. In the Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 7, we find a story about the city being completely besieged. Nobody could go in and nobody could get out without sneaking out. And things were pretty rough. I mean, they were eating donkey's heads and dove dung. They were buying. Listen, you could go clean out your parrot cage or your dove cage, your pigeon cage, and you could sell the manure. And that's what they were making soup out of. And if you had a donkey, they'd most of the time they'd cut the head off of a donkey, they'd just throw it away. Wouldn't even eat the donkey. I did hear of a hunter in Colorado one time, though. He was looking for mule deer up in the mountains, and he shot a mule. And he said, "Well, this is a mule deer." He threw it, cleaned it, and threw it in the back of his pickup truck and went through the check station, and they looked at it, and the mule was wearing shoes. They said, well, what? Somebody asked the game warden, said, what'd you do? He said, we just let the fool go. We figured he'd get treated better on the other end than he would anything we could do to him. But we knew that these people were eating dove dung and mule's heads, donkey's heads. And these four leprous men, leprosy is a type of sin. So here's four lost men, a picture of four lost men. The Bible says that this world is wiser many times than God's children, children of the light. And these four lost men said, listen, let's go out here and see if we can't get into the camp of the enemy. If we die, we but just die. I mean, it might be that they'd let us live. If we stay here, we know we're going to die. If we go out there, the worst thing that can happen is we die. If we die, we die, here or there. So they're reasoning, they're thinking. And they go outside and they hear this noise and they go and to the camp and everybody in the camp has gone away. And they find all these clothes, riches and weapons and monies and food all along the path. And they get to the camp, they find all this stuff. And of course the lost man normally would say, well, let's make a deal with the king. We could sell this stuff to that starving city pretty well. But here's what one of them said. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. They just believed because their cup was running over, they were obligated to share it with other people. You know, tonight I can say my cup runneth over. I don't know how anybody could be on their way to heaven and not want to talk to people about the Lord Jesus. How could you sit at a table with someone you know is lost and not tell them at least once with a broken heart how they need the Lord Jesus, how he can satisfy their aches and pains and satisfy their broken heart and heal their wounds and kiss their owies and make everything right if they'll just do things his way. The message that God has for his people to give to a lost and a dying world and to discourage Christians. It's a wonderful lesson. And simply the lesson is, my cup runneth over. Can I tell you why? I hope you have a cup running over and a heart willing to tell everyone why it is so. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, please.